Does everyone get some good insights as you're reading the word together? Yeah. Learn some new things. Isn't that really cool? You just ask some simple questions about the scriptures and all this deep conversation comes out. And the idea at Enrich is that everybody leads a discovery Bible study. Like literally even our kids could do it. Like they could literally read the scriptures and ask questions. And so the idea is that everybody can lead a discovery Bible study and be praying and thinking about, oh man, who at work or who in my family or who in my neighborhood can I do this with? Yesterday I was playing basketball with a guy up in Rosedale, up in Azusa, and just trying to, you know, meet different people to introduce him to Jesus and do discovery Bible studies. And this other guy shows up in Rosedale, if you're familiar with that, a lot of Chinese people live up there. So he just kind of shows up, Chinese guy, and I'm like, you wanna play basketball? He's like, sure. So we're just like shooting around a lot. And we just talk about life and our stories and stuff. And we get pretty deep just sharing about like our family backgrounds and things. And the Chinese guy, he had some background in Christianity. He came to the U.S. a couple years ago and was involved in a Bible study at a university where he was studying English. And I was like, hey man, you want to meet up this week for a Bible study? And you know what he said? He said, yeah. So tomorrow we're planning to meet up with a Bible study with the other guy. We're just going to read some scripture. Yeah, he doesn't know Jesus yet. But when he said this really nice old white lady had given him a Chinese English Bible. Whoa. So he has one. So isn't it cool that there were other people prior to me meeting him who had sown into his life, right? Who had sown his life or invite him to a Bible study or gave him a neighbor, gave him a Bible. And so there's this level of openness. And I just happened to step in his life in this stage saying, would you be open to studying the Bible together and hanging out and connecting over basketball? So as Phoebe was sharing about seed sowing, and we do the training once a month, when we go out and we just pray with people as we go or encourage them or invite them to Bible study, there's always a ton of people prior to us who've gotten there, and then you're one of those people who's gotten there prior to people getting to that point, which is super cool. So one of the conditions, the final condition actually, we've done 10 series around the 10 conditions that God has given us, connected with Mark 4:20. Is that Jesus wants us to be a 30, 60, 100-fold church. So Jesus wants us to be a church that multiplies disciples, churches, and leaders. And it all culminates in this, is that everybody's a disciple maker. Everybody's a disciple maker. So your identity as a daughter or a son of God ultimately extends itself in the application of you get to make disciples. Now, how many of you have ever thought of yourself as a disciple maker before? How many of y'all that was new for you to hear that today, that you're a disciple maker? Okay, cool. Yeah, so literally everyone's included. Everyone is included. Nobody's left out. Jesus says, come and follow me, and we're going to make disciples of all the nations of the earth. So when we read through the Matthew 28:16-20, just prior to that, Jesus had his whole life, right? So he lived those 33 years, and then it all just crashed down on the disciples because Jesus got crucified. And who they thought would be the Messiah in a certain way didn't happen like they thought, right? And then he was in the grave for 3 days, rose from the dead. And then if you read prior, it says Jesus showed up and he was showing himself to all these people in his resurrected body that he had. And then when we jumped in the scriptures here, if you want to look at verse 16, it says, then the 11 disciples left for Galilee, going to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. And when they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. Man, could you imagine being with Jesus all those years? Seeing healings, deliverances, miracles, see him raised from the dead, see the wounds in his body that were still there, and then some doubted. Man, that's a rough spot to be in. Like you have that much encounter with God and yet you still doubt. And I'll be honest with you, in my journey, like I've doubted. And here's the solution to doubt. This is what I've come to learn, how you resolve doubt, is you go to Jesus and you say, Jesus, I got doubt in my heart, and I ask that you change my heart. Because if it's a spiritual matter, you can't change yourself. Only the Holy Spirit can change you. So if you're wrestling with doubt, Jesus, would you pull that root of doubt out of my heart, and would you replace it with faith? And I'll share this with you. I feel like this is maybe a word for one or a couple of you. If you feel like you get hit with doubt really hard, like it really comes at you, my guess is you probably have the gift of faith. Because Satan is probably attacking the area of one of your strongest spiritual gifts to get you to doubt. But if you say, okay, Satan, I see you're coming at me this way, I'm going to hold up my shield of faith, and I probably know that God has given me the gift of faith to actually apply for his kingdom, that's probably why Satan is coming at you so hard with doubt. It's probably because you have the gift of faith. That's just my hunch I have for you. And so as you'll read about this with Jesus, man, the disciples had a choice the entire time. Because he said, go to Galilee and go up the mountain. They had to walk pretty far. They had to go to Galilee. They had to walk up another mountain and see Jesus there. And then he says this to them in verse 18. Jesus came and told his disciples, I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Been given all authority in heaven and on earth. So remember, Jesus is fully God and he's fully human all in one. So Jesus is fully God and he's fully human. And he's all authority. So this is super important because if you think back all the way to the beginning of Genesis at creation, who had authority over the earth? Anyone remember? It was Adam. Because God gave authority to Adam to subdue the earth and to multiply throughout the earth. And then what did Adam do with his authority? He gave it to who? He gave it to Satan. Because when Adam sinned by eating the fruit, he actually handed all authority over the earth to Satan. So remember in the temptation in Matthew chapter 4 and specifically Luke chapter 4 when Jesus is being tempted by Satan and he shows him the kingdoms of the earth and he says, all this authority is mine and I'll give it to you if you worship me. Did you know Jesus didn't argue with Satan? Because Satan had authority over all the earth. And so Satan said, I can give it to anyone I want to. I can give it to you, Jesus, if you worship. And Jesus said, no, I'm not taking a shortcut. I'll only worship the Lord my God. And so when Jesus came and he had his life and his death and his resurrection, when he says here, he has all authority in heaven and earth, guess who has all authority in heaven and earth? Jesus. So he took it from Satan, and guess who he gives his authority to now? To you. He's restored the original authority of Adam back to his people, the daughters and the sons of God. So you literally, you carry the authority of Jesus in you. It has been delegated to you. So it's Jesus' authority that he has given you. Now, like really think about that for a second. You literally carry the authority of Jesus with you. And if you believe that, how will you walk differently? Like when you walk into a place that's full of darkness, whether it's at your job site or your family situation or wherever you're going, and you have the authority of Jesus residing inside of you, do you know it shifts when you walk in that room? The atmosphere. Because you carry the authority of Jesus. You have the ability to walk into a place and actually shift the atmosphere when you believe and you stand in the authority that Jesus has given you. So he delegates his authority for one thing to the church, for his mission. He literally gives his authority for one thing to complete his mission here on the earth, which is what we read in verse 19 to 20. So let's read this together. Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, or the ethnos in the Greek, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I've given you. And be sure of this, I'm with you always to the end of the age. So Jesus gives his authority for one thing. He says, go and make disciples. So we're disciples like a pupil or a student of a teacher. So basically, we're to help make students of Jesus, to sit at his feet and to learn from him and to know him and to follow him and to obey him. Now, how many of y'all have baptized someone yet? Anyone here baptized someone yet? How many of y'all are looking forward to baptizing your first person? Yeah, it'll happen. Because literally, did you see what it says in the Word of God? Go make disciples. And the first thing you do after you make a disciple when they come to believe in Jesus for the first time, what does it say you're supposed to do? Baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And it doesn't say you have to have a degree, an ordination, or some type of title. It says, you go and make disciples. You go baptize. You go teach. It literally is an even playing field because we're all followers of Jesus and we're all called to make the disciples. So the first thing you got to do is you got to see so. You got to learn, how do I share my Jesus story? How has he changed my life? And how can I share that with other people? How can I share about Jesus' life, death, and resurrection and give them an invitation to believe? So that's the first thing we do. And then baptism is about this. If people are like, why do I need to get baptized? Baptism is about commitment and it's about identity. So when you're all in, like when you get married and you're put on your wedding ring, this thing is a covenant, right? So it is a covenant with your spouse and it stays on forever. In the same way with Jesus, you're stepping into that commitment, that covenant relationship. Says, Jesus, I'm all in, and I am identifying myself with you, and you're identifying with me. You have chosen me. And then it says this, teach them to obey everything I've commanded. So our role when you lead someone to Jesus, whether it's at work or in your family or like someone in your neighborhood, is it's actually your responsibility to disciple them. Like, don't bring them to me and say, Jared, disciple this person. I'm going to say, no, we're training everyone here to push this thing out to where all of you are making disciples of everyone that God brings in your path to believe. And you see it said, teach them to obey. Teach them to obey. How many of y'all have this internal resistance towards obeying? Like another person? Yeah. All right. So do you know about in the beginning of creation, we rebelled against God, right? So we have this rebellion in our sinful nature that we have to choose to crucify and bring to the cross. Because you know what Jesus did? He was obedient to the Father even to death. He didn't want to die on the cross, take all of our sins and take the weight of humanity. But he chose to do it out of obedience. So Jesus sets his example. I get it. One of my biggest sins was rebellion. Rebellion against authority. Especially authority I didn't like. And Jesus had to take me through this really hard process, and he broke me. And I learned, oh, I have to submit to you, God, and I have to submit to the authority that you've delegated here on the earth. And so obedience is about loving God. If you read John chapter 15, this is super important. He says this about three times. If you love me, you'll obey my commands. So Jesus's love language is obedience. So if you hate Jesus, you're going to disobey him. Like that, if you just put it like that, black and white. But if you love him, you'll obey his commands. You'll be intentional. And so we love Jesus based on obedience. And notice that following Jesus is about obedience-based discipleship. Obedience-based discipleship. And not this. Catch this, because this is most of what you'll encounter in a lot of Christianity, especially in the West. People will have knowledge-based obedience. So they'll go to the church their whole life. They'll read the Bible, do all these books, but they won't actually obey the scriptures. So this is obedience-based discipleship, not knowledge-based discipleship. Because you can have someone that's been in the church for all these years and know everything about the Bible, but you can have a new believer who's just a few weeks old in Jesus, and they'll be obedient to him. Do you know who is more mature in Jesus? The new believer, because they're obedient. So it doesn't really have to do with how much knowledge you have. It has to do with how obedient you are to Jesus. And he says, obey everything that he's commanded. I mean, no matter what we read in scripture, if it's there and it's by Jesus, we got to do it. And you're like, man, if this is hard, then what I do is I get on my knees and say, okay, Jesus, I don't want to do this, to be honest with you. Like, this is hard, but I'm willing. And so create in me a willing heart. I surrender to you. Change my heart. And it's obedience no matter the cost. Obedience no matter the cost. If it'll cost you your finances, it'll cost you your time, it'll cost you your relationships, it'll cost you a career or promotion. It's obedience no matter the cost and never compromising your following of Jesus. Because this life is so temporal. In just a couple decades, we're all going to be standing before Jesus at the judgment seat. And he's going to say, how did you obey me? And we're literally going to have to account for everything in our life. And did you catch this awesome promise at the end? I'll be with you always to the end of the age. He's with you always. Did you know that's contingent? What do you have to do for Jesus to be with you? Make disciples. If you're not making disciples and you're going out living your own life, doing your own thing, you know, Jesus is going to be standing over here while you're running over there doing crazy things and you're getting shot at or falling off cliffs or whatever's going on, right, kind of spiritually speaking. But he says, if you're making disciples, I'm with you. And do you want to know why that is? It's because you're actually with Jesus as he's making disciples through your life. And so we have to be with Jesus and follow him to have this promise be contingent activated in our life. So if God asks you to step into crazy situations in your life or to go to a country that he might send you to that's in a war zone, but he's sending you to make disciples, you're the safest place on earth because Jesus is with you. Did you know that you can't die apart from Jesus' will? That Satan can't snuff you out? If Jesus says you can't have that life, then you're protected. So it all culminates in this. This is literally what we are created to do. Loving God and loving people. And that takes its the practical hands and feet in making disciples. So Phoebe said it so well, like she's talking about the lies, right? Of like, oh, I'm going to be intruding in this person's life. Could you imagine that they're at the judgment and Phoebe's in the line with all the sheep and they're in the goat line and they're like, Phoebe, you didn't intrude on my life and tell me about Jesus. They're going to be like, you should have intruded in my life and told me about Jesus because look where I'm going now apart from him. So I love that you are like breaking down those lies, because all of you here, you carry the hope of Jesus in your life. You carry him, his love, his hope. And think about how many people are desperate to hear about it who don't know Jesus. And so, man, these walls, right? When I first started telling people about Jesus, I had to get over fear. Oh, I'm gonna sound stupid. I'm gonna look stupid, or it's inconvenient for them, or like inconvenient for me. I got all stuff I had to do. But the more I said yes to Jesus and I kept surrendering my life, you know what he did to me? He crucified me. He gave me his fire where it's burning away all this chaff, this useless stuff in my life, to where he's living in me more fully with his zeal, to where it's like, I just live for him now. I've surrendered so much of my life. All I've just kept saying is yes to him. So I'd enrich for all of us to make disciples. Here's the main thing we got to do. We got to train to be seed sowers. So in Mark chapter 4, when Jesus talks about the parable of the seed sower goes out and sows the seed, sows it on the four soils, right? There's three not good soils and there's one good soil. But notice that the sower didn't discriminate on any of the soils. Threw the seed everywhere as they went. And so it says, as you go make disciples, as you go, share Jesus with people. So talk about our Jesus story, right? Who were we before Jesus? How did we come to know him? How has he changed our lives? For us to clearly articulate the gospel is basically Jesus' life, death, and resurrection, and giving an invitation to believe and follow Jesus. I will tell you how to be extremely ineffective in doing this. Doing it in your own strength, in your own ability. Because Acts chapter 1 verse 8 says, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. If you've never had the Spirit of God come upon you physically, you're lacking power. Because as you read through the book of Acts, there's people that will believe in Jesus, they'll get baptized, then they'll place their hands on them, and they'll receive the Holy Spirit, and they have power. And so you need to receive God's Spirit. It's a promise of the Father. So all you got to do is ask, Father, give me your Spirit. Jesus, baptize me in your Spirit and in fire. And then you'll be changed from the inside out to have what is called boldness. You will be so bold. But it's the Spirit of God at work in you where you have no fear to go up to anyone at any time in any place and share Jesus, no matter the cost. And Jesus is looking for people who are willing to surrender their lives to when they get out of their vehicle or they walk in their office or walk in their school, their main mode of operation is, Jesus, who do you want me to go up to and share you with? Who do you want me to go and pray for? Who do you want me to encourage? This sounds radical because it's so against Netflix Christianity. Like Netflix Christianity, you live your own life, you say you believe in Jesus, and you watch Netflix all night, and you get up and hit repeat. Like you literally have to crucify that life and say, all right, Jesus, I'm willing to live 100% for you. So he's looking for super spreaders. Remember, we had COVID a couple years ago around the world, right? There were those people that you didn't like because they were super spreaders. They would spread it to like hundreds or thousands of people because they were so highly contagious. Jesus is looking for super spreaders of the gospel. That wherever you go, you are so contagious with Jesus, you are going to infect everyone around you. He's looking for people who will help train others. So as our church is being raised up and growing to maturity, we're going to start training other churches to do what we do. Because you might think when you come here like, oh, this is so normal and basic. But most churches don't actually do the things we're talking about on the daily. So Jesus is going to begin to use us to train people. And he's looking for trainers who will come and help us to train other churches. He's looking for church planters. If you leave a Discovery Bible study, you can start a church. It's that simple. He's looking for church planters, and he's looking for network leaders. He's looking for people to be raised up in the kingdom who are going to begin to oversee a whole network of churches that come to know Jesus and follow him to plant more churches. So I'm going to give you a short demonstration of like, all right, Jared, you're doing a lot of talk. What does it look like for you when you like go up to someone? So I'll just share yesterday when I was at the park playing basketball with a Chinese guy named Sun. We were talking about like our families and stuff like that. And it was an interesting theme of our fathers. either had passed away, had left, or like no relationship for all three of us guys. So what I did is I shared my Jesus story with him. I said, you know, when I was growing up, like I didn't know God at all. And my dad decided to like leave our family. And I hadn't seen him since I was 12. And I had so much pain in my heart, I wanted to hurt myself. I wanted to take my life. So I told my mom, and she said, we're going to church in this city. I'd never been to church before. No one ever told me about God. And so went to this church, and I learned something I didn't know before. I learned that God loved me. And I learned about Jesus, that he could heal my life and put me back together and make me whole. And I didn't know about his life, but I learned he lived a life just like me and you. And he was fully God and fully human, but he never sinned against God. He never wronged against God. I had learned I had done that. I had sinned against God. And so I learned about his life, and not only his life, but his death. He died for the sins of anybody who believes in him and asks forgiveness. And they put him in a grave for 3 days, fully dead. And he rose from the dead on the third day, conquering death. And so I could have that relationship with him. And that's what I did. I just simply shared my Jesus story in the gospel. And now we're going to do a discovery Bible study. And so as simple as that is, you have these just natural conversations that come up. So they're casual conversations that lead to meaningful conversations that lead to spiritual conversations. And it's the Holy Spirit who guides that process. So what we're going to do today is we're going to train as a church on how to seed sow. So I'm going to hand out a handout to everyone, and it's going to be super simple. It's pretty much done for you, but what you get to complete is your own Jesus story. And if you're here today and like I don't know Jesus, you could just write it however you want to, like you're getting to know him. So I'm going to pass this out, and I'll throw this on the website too with the message, so you can have a PDF download if you want. But you can see the front side here says seed sowing training. So it's training to spread the gospel. So remember how we just read in the scriptures, it said, go and make disciples. This is literally the first thing that we do, making disciples, is we prepare how we will share our Jesus story, the gospel, and give an invitation to person believe and follow Jesus for the first time. So for you, you can write down, you know, 3 to 5 sentences or bullet points for each question here. What was your life like before Jesus? How did you come to know Jesus? And how has he changed your life? Like, what is different now that you know him? So take a few minutes and bullet point that out. And if you're like, man, I've already done this before. Remember, it's not about knowledge-based obedience or knowledge-based discipleship. It's about obedience-based discipleship. So it's actually applying this to your life and living it out on the daily. So take a few minutes to bullet point those. And then once you bullet point those, share that with the person next to you. You can just read over your bullet points. There is a simple, how will you share the gospel? How we invite a person to believe and follow Jesus, and how we invite them to pray and talk with Jesus for the first time. What you can do is you could just read through those. You could take turns. You could just read through it just so you begin to kind of get like, oh, this is how I can share it. This is a way to do it. And then you do is you just kind of find your own way to do it. You put it in your own words as you connect with people. So in your groups, you can just read top to bottom on that page, and then we'll begin to wrap up in just a few minutes. So as we come to a close, one of the best tips I can give you with this is that practice makes easier. So the more you practice it, the easier it gets. And when I first started this out, I had a goal like once a week, I'm going to like ask someone, I can pray for you or share the gospel. There were so many weeks I didn't even hit my goal just once a week because I was just so like nervous or whatever. But then as I practice more and more, and then it just becomes a natural part of my life. And when you do it with other people, if you go out like in a pair like we do on the farmer's market nights, man, your confidence is just boosted more. And then you're able to do it on your own as you're like shopping the grocery store or whatever you're doing with your life. So this is just a good simple model that you can take with you and then make it your own, right? So you read through the back part, just talking about the gospel. Sometimes if I have the time, I'll talk with someone for like 20 minutes about this stuff in depth. But sometimes I only have like 3 or 4 minutes with someone. And then I'm able to put a Gospel of John in their hands. Say, hey, you can read about Jesus as you go. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to... George, if you can take these and you could just take them and pass it around.
How many per person?
One per person. This is a Gospel of John. If they multiply, though, and you get extra more than one, then that works, too. Depending where your level of faith that is today. I'm just kidding. So this Gospel of John is not meant for you. This Gospel of John is meant for someone else that Jesus is going to put in your path this week, who's hungry for God, who is wanting to know God, and you can hand it to them. So the idea is that you can seed sow this week. And so Jesus will put someone in your path. And what it'll be is that obedience. It'll be that obedience of stepping out and starting a conversation. you just, I don't know, pick something about, hey, that's a cool shirt. Like, where'd you get it? I don't know. Just, you build a bridge with them, right? You build a connection. And then you can say, hey, can I, is there anything in your life you want prayer for? Do you need God to help you out in any way? A lot of people will say, yeah. And if they say no, be like, can I just share with you how God changed my life and what I want to encourage people and pray for them? A lot of people will say, yeah. Handful will say no. And then as you connect with people, you can, hey, can I give you this book about Jesus? It's called The Gospel of John. It's a story about his life. And what I do is I read like a chapter a day. So the big numbers are chapters, little numbers are verses. And as you read it, you'll get to know more who Jesus is. And so remember the guy's son who I'm supposed to do a Discovery Bible study with this week? Someone had done all that work prior with him, where now he's open. So you'll be the person that gets to sow the seed, that some will plant, some will water, and some will get the harvest. But we all get to participate in that process. So as we close, I'm going to invite everyone to stand. If you're able and willing, I'm going to pray over us. And if you want to hold that Gospel of John as a symbolism of becoming that disciple maker that God is inviting you to be, that Jesus is inviting you to be. So Jesus, thank you for the great commission you've given us. You've called us as your people. You've given us your delegated authority to go and make disciples of all the people groups, all the nations of the earth, to baptize in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and to teach them to obey everything you've commanded us and know that you'll always be with us as we're making disciples. So Jesus, here we are. We present ourselves to you saying we're willing and we need your Spirit, because Acts 1:8 says when the Spirit comes upon us, we'll receive power to be an effective witness. So Jesus, would you pour out your Spirit on us right now? Would you pour out your Spirit and would you fill us, Holy Spirit, giving us power and boldness to be an effective witness? Thank you, Holy Spirit, for the people that you're going to place in our path this week who don't know Jesus, that you are already working in their hearts, you're already preparing them, you're already causing them to be hungry and thirsty for Jesus, that we'll be the ones that get to sow the seed, or we'll get to water, or we'll even get to harvest this week. So Jesus, thank you that you've commissioned us to be disciple makers. So I declare the truth of God's word over you, that you are a disciple maker, and you are commissioned to go forth and make disciples of all the nations. And so the Gospel of John that you hold in your hands is meant for the person that Jesus has for you this week, that you'll get to hand it to. And who knows, you may get to be the one that leads them to Jesus and changes their eternal destiny to know how much God loves them and wants a relationship with them, and to go do the same with others. So Jesus, as we go forth, we thank you that you're with us. I ask your protection over everybody here, their spouses, their kids, families, loved ones, roommates. Jesus, would you go before us this week with everything we got going on with family and work. And we thank you that you are already ahead of us. You're already making a way and paving a way. And Jesus, you already have heaven's solutions to our earthly problems. So would you bring us into deeper alignment with your wisdom and knowing how we can follow you in all situations. And Jesus, I pray for anybody that has need this week that you would release your provision of heaven to meet their needs. And anybody facing something coming up in this next week or two that can be a challenge, God, I ask that you reinforce them with your mighty strength and power. Give them this stability, the ability to trust in you for everything to fall into place at the right time for them. So Jesus, we commit ourselves in your hands, and we're excited to live for you this week. In your name, Jesus, amen.